We pray for blessings. We pray for peace. Comfort for family. Protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry out in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds his heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life the rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise?
Scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and took fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to just thank you as a church for all of your love and support and prayers. Donna Holman and I arrived back from our mission trip in Kenya this week. And believe me, we felt your prayers through it all. You know, as we were going over there, we knew it was not just two of us going over there, that we were a part of something bigger, that we were a part of this church, and that you were all sending your love to all those brothers and sisters in Christ over there. And so know that they also send their greetings back to you and say thank you for all that you have done for them. Just as a quick update, many of you met Reverend Joe when he was here from Kenya in April. And he spoke on a Wednesday night and then also preached on Sunday morning. And he told us at that time about the orphanage that he was involved with, and that they were desperate to have a girls' dorm. The government had come in, and because of the situation with crowding, it was too tight with all the girls, and so they were being threatened of closing the orphanage if they didn't make resolutions to get it all resolved. And so you as a church, along with some other churches, donated money. And because of that, they have two new buildings as dorms for the girls. That kind of shows some of the overcrowding beforehand, but then as you're watching the pictures, you'll see the new buildings that have gone on. One of them was almost finished, and the other one they just needed to put the roof on. And that shows the inside of the building, and it's so much larger, and it's a safe place for them to be. In fact, the girls were meeting in it this morning. Their church service was earlier this morning, and that was a picture of them from this morning in there. By the way, the next picture shows the outside of the building, and don't think that that's trash out there. They'd washed their clothes. They'd gone down to the lake to wash clothes yesterday, and so that's the clothes out there drying in the sun. But they are so thankful to have that new dorm. You know, there's so much that Donna and I would like to share with you. And there's still so many needs that they have. The boys' dorm was even worse condition than the girls', but they took care of the girls first. But there's so many things that we'd like to tell you that we experienced. And so many God things that happened. And we certainly don't have time to do that today. But what we wanted to do today is just to share with you some of the God moments that we had and some of the experiences, and to give you a little taste of what it was like. And hopefully, maybe on the first Wednesday or something, we'll have a chance to tell you so much more. But I'll go ahead and invite Donna to come up as we just share just some of the small things that we noticed. You know, you go to some place like that and you think, you know, that you have an idea of what it will be like, and we bring our own conceived American view of things, and then you get there and it's not what you expect, but it's a great learning experience. Donna.
To thank y'all for your prayers while we were gone. We definitely felt the Spirit of God moving us in different directions, and we really needed that closeness with God through this. The thing that, you know, Kiva goes, I want you to share something about where you saw God. Well, how much time have you got? Because it was all week. And everything that we did, God was involved in. But what I kind of picked out that was really unique to me, I think, because of what I do for a living, I sell appliances and furniture. So we went to... this video right here is the video of Joe's church is right next door to this. And these ladies came early in the morning, and they brought their little sacks tow sacks of potatoes and carrots and kale and maize and things that they had grown. And they came and sat, and they prepared the meal for the 12 pastors and everybody that was there that day while she was training the pastors. And right beside that, okay, while they're shredding their carrots and potatoes and everything right here, there's chickens running around, and they're cooking on a wooden stove. I mean, they're not a wooden stove. They got some 4 bricks, and they're sticking wood in there and cooking under a great big pot. Right beside the chicken coop and the, and I don't even know if you can see that in that video, the chicken coop and the, right there, the goats, and they're cooking right below that. And the American side of me was like, whoa, that's dirty. My idea of doing without is canceling cable, okay? I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue about trusting God for my daily needs. These people dug stuff out of their gardens and brought them up and made them for us for lunch every day. They were wonderful ladies. The first day I was a little bit envious. I kept going in there and kind of wanting to get a part of that. And there was a little baby that this Mzungu white woman scared her to death. And she just bawled every time she saw me, so I kind of stayed away. I mean, I would walk by and she'd see me and just... she was just not quite ready for a white person to hang out with her. By the second day, she allowed me to be closer without screaming. And Gladys, which I don't see in that picture right there. Anyway, Gladys was one of the women that had, she had worked for a white woman. And so she kind of took me under her wing. And that's Joe's wife right there. And she's drying rice. I don't get it, but she's drying some rice on a dish that she's going to add to the stuff in the bucket. Anyway, these women were so wonderful. Gladys took me under her wing, and she kind of shared with me about that this is how they do church dinner. And I said, well, that's not how we do church dinner. We prepare it at home. We come in, we throw it on the table, we eat, we grab our stuff, and we leave. These women spent probably, 3 or 4 hours in the morning just cooking together and laughing and having wonderful fellowship and camaraderie, and I was jealous. I envy that relationship. And I got thinking, she said, don't you have good friends? I said, yes, and I talk to them every week. And thought, oh, I talk to them every week. And she said, well, what do y'all do together? And I said, well, we call each other on the phone. Wow. Kind of an eye-opener for me that my relationship's totally different than these people's relationships. They have a lot of togetherness. They depend on each other. Anything that belongs to one belongs to all of them, just like the scripture reads. I tend to be a little more selfish with my stuff, and I didn't think I was, but it really showed me that I was. When I went in there, I was thinking, well, these ladies need a range. You know, we need to collect some money and get these ladies a range, because here they are cooking on the ground in front of the chicken coop. And by the time I left, the last thing those women need is a range. I learned a lot from these ladies. They are good, godly women, and they cook in their nice clothes. That kind of surprised me. I go home and take off my good stuff, put on my, you know, because we don't want to mess up our shirt, our clothes. But they're just such awesome women, godly women, and they care so much for each other. And I just learned a lot from that. And that's just one of the many places that I saw God. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity for God to show me some stuff and teach me through this process. And I hope that we do get to share with y'all more, because there is a lot, lot more. Anyway, thank you.
When Reverend Joe was here, one of the things he mentioned to me was that since he's a district superintendent, that he had this group of pastors underneath him. And he said they've never had a chance to have anyone teach them anything. They're pastors, but they've never had any training. And in fact, most of them are at churches, small churches, that can't even afford to pay them. So they're laborers or farmers or work in different ways Monday through Saturday. And then they're preachers and pastors on the side. And so I knew that it would be difficult for them to come for a few days of training. It meant that they wouldn't get paid for those days, which would mean that their family would not get money to buy food for those few days, and they had to travel a great distance. And traveling over there is nothing compared to traveling over here. When we think 20 miles, we think, oh, just run on up to Wichita Falls and no big deal. And yet it is a humongous deal for them and a dangerous trip. And so these pastors traveled and came there for 3 days to stay, to be away from their families, to stay. And actually, I started kind of feeling guilty about it beforehand, thinking, what do I have to give them that's worth the wages that they would lose of being away from their family and all the traveling that they had to do. But I have to tell you that our time together was amazing. And it was so God-filled as we just spent time together studying. And they were so humble and so hungry for what I had to share. They knew the Bible and they'd studied the Bible, but they hadn't had a chance to have anyone teach them or to go in depth on anything. And we talked about all types of things, from basics of Christianity to theology to Bible study, leadership, Methodism, spiritual disciplines. And, at one point I thought, I'm just pouring out to them. But in truth, they poured into me. There were 10 of them, counting Reverend Joe, and all men except for one woman, Ruth. Ruth was the newest pastor. She'd been a pastor for 1 year. The rest of them had been anywhere from 3 years to 26 years and had been faithfully doing, church work and serving the Lord all that time with any means that they had. And they were just this incredible group. They were so desperate for knowing more about God and wanting to share that with their churches. And the questions that they asked were just unbelievable. And the stories that they shared with me, it was just from a point of view that's totally different than anything I could have ever imagined before. I thought I knew what it's like to do ministry, but I know what it's like to do ministry in our church or a few other countries, but certainly not in their country and all the things that they deal with. And so it was so much more of a blessing for me than anything I could have given them. And then this past Sunday, we had the opportunity to worship with their church. And that was quite an experience. And in fact, it was a 2.5-hour service. So thank you that I don't preach super long. But the first hour was wonderful because it was just worshiping and praising God and dancing, and it was glorious. And we've got a little video clip to give you a little taste of that. And by the way, in case you can't understand what we're saying, you're a mighty God, and we bow down to you.
Thank you.
So, you know, we could add that to our service too, if you'd like. We'll get Jennifer to do some dancing for us. But it was wonderful, and it was so heartfelt. And then I had the privilege of preaching to them afterwards. And even though a lot of them understand English, one of the pastors, Alex, in fact, the one in the white suit that you saw dancing around, was my translator. So he translated into Swahili. My Swahili's not that good. And, you know, I really prayed about, you know, Lord, what do I share with them? And after seeing, you know, the living situation and the difficulties that they face and everything else, the only thing I could think of was share about how big God is and help encourage them in their faith. And so I preached a sermon where I told some Bible stories and some other stories and then, you know, just kind of encouraged them and asked the question, you know, how big is your God? And that was a question that I'd asked y'all not too long ago about, you know, how much faith do we have and how big is our God? And, you know, got a lot of response from it later where people would come up and say, I have a big God. But I have to tell you that it was when I was on the airplane flying home, I thought, how foolish. You know, I was preaching to them, trying to encourage them about how big their God is. And yet, believe me, this is a group of people that live their faith. I mean, they have to depend on God for food and water and everything they have. And I'm telling them, you know, God's big. They know God's big because they couldn't survive without God. And that was really humbling to recognize how foolish for an American who lives in luxury, who has running water, who has electricity, who has, you know, a nice bed, who has, you know, support to, you know, think that we have that much to offer to them about faith. You know, there were some really good lessons learned while we were there. You know, we went over there to try to help, but we came back with open eyes. And I think one thing that I learned was how incredibly blessed we are. But the second thing I was reminded of is that we are blessed to be a blessing. I truly do not believe that when God created the world and gave a lot of the wealth to a small percentage of the people, that He intended for that group of people to hold on to that wealth and live in a life of luxury while their brothers and sisters are struggling. I think God calls us all to be faithful and to share and support, and that we are a part of something that's so much bigger than just us, that we can't just live our lives and ignore, you know, what's going on around us, you know, or be a country that decides you're going to pull out of the world and just, you know, hold your own things to yourself. I don't think as a church we can do that either, or as a nation. You know, I think God calls us to make sure that we are being faithful to all people, because we're all created in God's image. And it's just as important for us as a local church to make sure we're reaching out to everyone that's in our community and making sure that no one stands on their own, that they all feel welcomed and supported in the same way that we are a part of the universal church and we're supposed to reach out to all of the other churches. You know, every Sunday we join together and sing the Apostles' Creed. And the last part of that, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. And then it goes on. You know, I used to be offended to say the Holy Catholic Church because I thought, I'm not a Catholic. But that's not what that means. It has a small c, so it doesn't mean Roman Catholic. That Catholic right there, when we say it every Sunday, means universal. It's recognizing that the body of Christ is throughout the world. It's not just our little church where we can stand alone. We're part of the universal church. And I think we got a taste of that.
You know, I think the bottom line is that God has given us a picture of what the church really should be like when he gave us Acts 2 and the passage that Pam read a little earlier about the fellowship of the believers. And particularly verse 42, where it talks about that they devoted themselves, not did, but devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then it goes on and talks about that they were all together in all things. They had everything in common, and they gave to anyone who has a need. They were the true church because they shared it all. They recognized they were a part of something so much bigger than themselves, and they made sure that everyone was included and everyone was taken care of. And I think that's the lesson we need to learn too, is we're a part of something so much bigger than us. We're a part of the kingdom of God, and that kingdom of God is big. And so whether it's someone in our community, whether it's someone on the other side of the world, you know, we need to make sure that they're all loved and cared for, and that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because we are a part of something big. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to really recognize the blessings that you have given us, but that others have blessings to share with us that may be totally different than anything we've experienced. And when we come together as a unit, united in you, then we're all so much better and so much stronger and more complete. That our completeness is only in you, with all others gathered around. You never intended for any individual to stand out on their own, but you gave us the gifts and talents to share together so that everyone is blessed. And so, Lord, for all of us, may we be faithful in sharing the gifts and blessings that you have given us. And may we as a church be fully devoted to reaching out to all those around us. Lord, we thank you for the times that you open our eyes to things and that you teach us that we're all together in this. We're all created in your image. Lord, help us to live our lives fully serving you and giving our very best and loving all those around us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.